Welcome once again to Hot Air, the DC Breeze's podcast. DC Breeze, of course, the representative of Washington, DC in the AUDL, American Ultimate Disc League. My name is Greg Esser. I've got a great show on tap for you today. I sit down with Rowan McDonald, the block leader of the DC Breeze in 2017, and man about town as he's running clinics left and right with one of our partners, AUA, American Ultimate Academy. They promote the sport of Ultimate in Washington, D.C., and the surrounding areas, and the country, for that matter. They have a truly international reach, as the internet allows them to have. Let me thank our other sponsors that really help make the D.C. Breeze possible in 2017. That's Papa John's Pizza, Big Board Bar, MedStar Sports Medicine, Port City, Oak Creek Apparel, Layout Gloves, Discraft, Ultimate, and then WAFSI, Washington Area Frisbee Club. Thanks to all of those partners. I am coming to you today also off the back of a doubleheader weekend for the Breeze, not the traditional doubleheader where you do a road trip, you spend the night, it's all on the road. This first game was on the road. It was up in Philadelphia, and the Breeze led pretty comfortably 2-3 points, seeming very in control for the duration of the game until the very final quarter, after 20 points combined of both offenses holding their serve, scoring off those points, the Phoenix broke and took a lead, and they took a lead at the most serendipitous moment. The game, the clock expired as they took the lead, and huge upset. Phoenix getting their second win of the game, the basement dweller of the East so far, and taking one from our DC Breeze. A tough loss to be sure. Really shakes up the standing. It took the Breeze to 5-3 on the year, but the Breeze would bounce back. They came back to the district, a home game on Sunday. Ate their home-cooked meals, and showed up in a big way. A low-scoring game, even with double overtimes against the New York Empire. The Breeze would score 18 points, first time all season they've been under 20, and win it. They win it in double overtime on the golden goal, the universe point of the AUDL. And it was an impressive win, particularly out of both defensive lines, or particularly out of the Breeze defensive line, but the New York defensive line, something to be reckoned with as well, as Babbitt and Ryan Dross really went to town, racking them up for the Empire. After all that action, the Breeze are 6-3 on the year, which is good enough for second in the East right now. They're a half game behind Toronto, who sit at 6-2. But this upcoming weekend, Sunday, June 11th at 2 p.m., Gallaudet University, those two squads will match up. So if you are listening to this podcast and you're in the D.C. area, heck, if you're not in the D.C. area, get to D.C. this Sunday, June 11th, and there's going to be a heavyweight bout, and it's going to be one that's pivotal for this season and pivotal for home field advantage in the playoffs. You start looking at these standings because we've gone far enough into the season, and you wonder not only who's going to make the playoffs in the East, a lot of parity, but really where they're going to have to play. The Breeze have been 5-0 so far at home this year. They're 1-3 on the road. You really have to think these home games have a lot of weight. And so for the Breeze to rise to the top of the standings, host a couple playoff games, certainly I'd be excited because I live just 3 blocks from the stadium. And I could see them all the time and maybe announce some of those games on blown coverage, stream them online. But also, you know, for the Breeze's sake of winning, you know, these home games are where it's at. It's worth fighting for the home games. So on that note, I might say, you know, the Breeze have this tough game against the Rush. It's going to be very pivotal for determining the Eastern Division standings. But also, the following weekend might be one of the toughest stretches of play as well, as the Breeze will go on the road, maybe not two teams as high caliber as the Rush, but playing them in back-to-back days, the Montreal Royale and the Ottawa Outlaws, two teams that have made huge additions this year from the whole of Canada, and in the case of the Royale, from the world over. And those games are going to be tough games, and tough games to take the long bus ride up to Canada and win. And you think that if the Breeze are really trying to host a pair of playoff games and finish first in the East, they got to win them both at this point. Worth saying. It's also interesting in the Eastern Division kind of who's going to get that third playoff spot. And right now, the Royale are sitting pretty at 5-4. And they beat Ottawa decisively last week. Their remaining schedule has 2 more games against Ottawa. It does have one against the Rush, So they could very easily drop that one. They're 1-1 against the rush this year, a win and a loss. But the Royale, maybe the odds-on favorite, even though they were a little bit of a dark horse at the beginning of the season. The team that is not sitting in that place, of course, is New York Empire. They're sitting at 2-5 after 3 losses to the Breeze this year. And while they have some easier opponents left, they've got to play those, you know, quote-unquote easier opponents, but as I remind you, the parity in the East. Easier opponents, they've got to play them on the road. The last team maybe in the mix there, and you know, maybe I shouldn't discount the Phoenix after the win against the Breeze. They're 2-6. They'd have to rattle off a few to make a meaningful difference here. But the last team I really wanted to talk about was the Outlaws, just because they've played so few games. They're 2-4, which is not a great record for only having 6 games. But that's a lot of games left, you know, with, quick math, 8 to go. There's a lot of potential energy in getting some of those wins. They do have away games, an away doubleheader, in fact, in 2 weekends' time against New York and against Philly. So that'll be the tough weekend on the Outlaws. Anyhow, just wanted to talk about the AADL East there a little bit, all the upcoming games. Check it out online if you're a visual person. Much easier maybe than me ranting and raving about it. But I will get to the action with Rowan McDonald. I will throw it over to Broke Royals with our theme song. Thanks again for listening to Hot Air. Got the rare double feature. I'm sitting down here, hot air, of course, with 2 individuals today because I am at the headquarters of the AUA, that's American Ultimate Academy, and I've got 2 of their finest with me. Of course, Rowan McDonald, who you all know from his on-the-field prowess, Throwin' with Rowan. I'm naming your YouTube series, Rowan, but I'm also sitting down with Nate Spate, who you may not know, but he's another staffer here at AUA. You both want to introduce yourself with just a little hello, warm up the mics a little? Nate?
Nate Spate. I'm in the building. Good to be here.
Good.
You got Rowan here, Nate and myself, you know, co-founders of American Ultimate Academy, and we're just super happy to be back on Hot Air. This is round 2 for me.
Round 2, a repeat offender. And the other thing that you repeatedly offend is the offensive members of the AUDL East, as you're leading the Breeze with 13 blocks right now. So congrats on that.
Thank you. Yeah, leaving a lot on the table, though. Should have a few more.
Okay.
He's on fire. He's on fire now.
Well, good. I'm glad to have you both here today. Glad to have you recording Hot Air with me. The first thing I want to talk about, and we're not going to use Nate's entire day because he's got to get back to the grind, as I hear.
Back to it.
I want to talk a little bit about AUA. It's something I don't know a lot about. I'm looking at your great facilities here in DC, very startup, bright vibe, lots of windows. We're in a conference room right now. We got a big screen TV on the wall, so we can I can only assume teleconnect with I don't know. Who are we talking to?
We're talking to some big names. We can't release them yet, but you know they're out there.
Okay. It's like it's very Donald Trump. Can't reveal your sources. too
no
deep.
No sources, but it's huge.
There we go. Well, good. So tell me. So what's the prime objective here at AUA? And yeah, talk to me a little bit about what the vision is.
Sure. American Ultimate Academy has 2 things. You know, we want to provide access and resource for the sport of Ultimate Frisbee. The access side is getting kids who might not be able to play in middle schools, high schools, because lack of roster positions, lack of available coaches. We're trying to offer all these things and say, hey, now these 10 kids that can't make the high school team, the middle school team, come play Ultimate Frisbee. We have the coaching. We have a great sport, full of fitness, sportsmanship, great values, and we're just trying to offer Ultimate Frisbee as an alternative choice and get kids moving in D.C.
Do you have a motto?
Yeah, well, we have the Elevate Your Game motto, of course, but...
Ooh, that's good.
Elevate Your Game. There's a lot to it.
Coming from a guy that can really get up there, I like Elevate Your Game.
That's part of it. That's part of it. We're just trying to build up Ultimate Frisbee in D.C., and also we're trying to build up Ultimate Frisbee around the world, and that's where our video content and instructional videos will come in down the line.
Yeah, you've had a lot of success with those recently. How do you find those 10 kids? I mean, that seems like a pretty challenging objective, find 10 kids that are willing to pick up a disc.
It is and it isn't. You know, the sport has been growing within the D.C. metropolitan area, but inside D.C., we haven't seen the growth. And so in order for us to get those kids there, we've taken a grassroots approach. We're hitting the Department of Parks and Rec, who we are partnering up with now to provide clinics. We've also are starting leagues along with DPR, where they're giving kids the opportunity to play the sport at a young age and to get introduced to the sport. We're also bringing it to PE classes, to schools throughout the district too. Again, getting kids involved early and letting them see what the sport's all about, because we feel that once they see the sport, once they have the opportunity to play, then you know it sells itself. The sport sells itself.
So give me a good heartwarming or heart-wrenching story about, you know, this mission in action. You know, walking in, you know, working with a student for the first time, working with a kid for the first time. Do you have any really good ones about, you know, how quick the uptake was or how challenging it was to get into a certain environment?
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many of these stories, and that's the reason why we do it. But I mean, we can just take Antonio at Banning Stoddard right off the top of my head. I mean, we're going to go coach him again tonight. He's already, you know, he's going to take my spot next year. He's 13 years old. He can play. He can throw. He can catch. He can cut. And, you know, he's just the leader. So
had he touched a frisbee before you guys started working with him?
Unlikely.
It was unlikely. No. And he's already got throws.
He's already there. He's throwing forehands. He's throwing. Their full field is, you know, maybe 40 yards, but he's throwing throwing forehands, full field, catching, reading the disc. I don't know. Some kids just, it snaps, and he's been incredible. And
well, they say that sometimes if you put a child right into water after birth, that they're already very accustomed to the environment. So maybe there's like an age you can hit them at where they're also taking advantage of prenatal disc skills. Is that possible?
Yeah, we'll take it. But what we're looking forward to is like we're eventually trying to get this DC travel team together, and like if we can find an Antonio at Banning Stoddard, then we go to a different city or a different part of the city, Trinidad, maybe.
That's my hometown.
Yeah, Trinidad.
My home neighborhood.
Working. Yeah, they've got ballers. We've done team nights there. They've got ballers over there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, next time you come to the neighborhood, I'll have to be out.
Yeah,
you can. But yeah, just like these kids that just grasp it so fast, we got a handful of them together. We're going to start playing Fairfax, Vienna, Arlington, and we're going to see that D.C. can definitely hang with these other counties that are just killing it.
Nice. So it sounds like in this particular case, maybe already accustomed to athleticism in general, picked up the throws really quick. What would you say are the skills that you see picked up the quickest, and what are the hardest ones that are the more advanced level for the youth that you're really next level stuff?
I think the skills that are picked up the quickest are crossover skills from other sports. Specifically football, a lot of these kids come from a football background. So when they go play the one-on-one drill, you see kids with pretty good footwork. They're like locked in, their hips are moving, their feet are moving. And the skills that are hardest to grasp, of course, are the ultimate frisbee skills, reading the disc in the air.
Uh-huh.
You throw them an outside in throw, they're going to go hard on the outside and they don't understand that it's going to come back. So time and time again, you see a kid just flying off course. But these are easy skills to pick up on. We have the athleticism, we have sports backgrounds, and now once we teach them a few little things, reading the disc, throwing with both hands, and some of the rules too, then we're going to see an explosion of talent and potential.
Nice.
I've also been impressed with the hand-eye coordination.
Okay.
I mean, these kids are making some kids are making one-hand snags, and they're making them look easy. You know, it's been really impressive, though, to kind of see the hand-eye coordination. And like Rowan said, I think another skill that's translated, too, has been the footwork. Seeing these kids, they're quick, already able to open the hips and to move and quick feet. So those are some of the skills that we haven't had to really teach or coach much. They've come equipped with them.
Nice. I think there's actually one other thing you guys wanted to discuss, the 30 for 30. I don't know a lot about this either. Actually, you want to key me into that?
Yeah, great. Thanks for bringing up the 30 for 30. We've been talking a lot about the access part of American Ultimate Academy, bringing Ultimate to DC, but we're also trying to raise the bar for Ultimate Frisbee around the country, around the world. And what we're going to do is we're just going to have an online tutorial, videos, drills, game analysis. It's all up on our website at www.AmericanUltimateAcademy.com. And right now we're in the course of releasing 30 free drills throughout the month of June for any upcoming player or team that wants to get a little bit better at Ultimate or to elevate their game.
Nicely done. You wrapped it all up there for me.
Yeah, it's great. And one of the main advantages of America Ultimate Academy is just Rowan right here. Rowan is a student of the game. He's passionate about this game. And so he's always coming up with new ways to improve his game. And so using that craftsmanship to put together something for other players outside, those who might not be able to have the type of access to resources or to coaching. You could be somewhere in Iowa, you could be in the Philippines, you could be wherever and have access to American Ultimate Academy and the types of programs that we're putting together, because we want to see players from across the globe get better.
The internet is a powerful tool, and it looks like you guys are harnessing that and social media to get the job done. So thanks to the AUA and a partner of the Breeze this year, and bringing more Ultimate to the youth of DC.
Yeah, thank you, Greg.
Cool. Well, I'm gonna let Nate go. Nate, back to work. Chop, chop.
Thank you.
High fives all around. All right, another all right. Commonality of the sport.
All right, get those full up.
Rowan, you're about to get grilled about the Breeze, though.
Who's that?
You're about to get grilled about the Breeze.
Get him, bro.
Because you guys can't win an away game. You've won one away game.
Yeah, we've won one away game. That's right where we want them right now.
Okay.
Yeah, because we're a young team. So, you know, the more we can go through adversity early in the season, the better we're going to get down the line. You know, championship weekend might be two away games.
It might be two away games.
If we go into championship weekend 4-0, 5-0 on the road, then we go down early, it's over. So, no, we're happy to get these losses out of the way, build some adversity, have this, you know, now we can bounce back. I mean, those are huge things. Yeah, at the end of the day, we might want to be 4-0 on the road, but we'll see at the end of the season how effective these early losses were.
Okay, and so to key folks into what I'm talking about specifically is, so the Breeze had a doubleheader last weekend. They had the increasingly frequent, it's been a big trend for the AUDL in 2017. It did not exist as much in previous years, but it is the away game followed by the home game in the same weekend. You played away at Philadelphia, and it was a 22-21 game in favor of Philly.
Correct.
And he came back here for a double OT win, I think 18-17 against New York. So let's talk through individual games. Sure. You gave me the platitudes. I appreciate it. You know, adversity up front, rise to the occasion, elevate your game, et cetera, et cetera. But tell me what happened in Philly. There was a ton of turnovers, top three games in terms of turnovers for the Breeze this year. And you led the whole way until they called time, and you looked up, and suddenly it wasn't the win anymore.
Yeah, going back to Philly, I think the first quarter was 4-1 Breeze, and then, I think I had the disc on the 10-yard line, and I missed an easy backhand, could have been 5-1, and then all of a sudden, from that point on, we had trouble stopping their offense. I think we switched some things up, and I'm not sure... I don't remember what happened. I was just on the field playing defense. Like,
you blacked out.
We haven't got the disc in 10 possessions, and that's just extremely disheartening. Nicky Spivey on Philly was a difference maker. I mean, his backhand hooks, I don't think he missed one. Marquez is an incredible receiver. Mott played a great game.
Sean Mott played a very good game.
So they had a legitimate offense, and unfortunately, our D-line couldn't generate the same amount of turns and breaks as we had in the first quarter.
Yeah, so what do you chalk that up to? What do you say to a D-line that, you know, you suddenly wake up, you say 10 possessions later, we haven't generated a block? You know, is there something that you tweak mentally? Is it something you tweak strategically?
Because you obviously did
tweak something, because you came back the next day, and, you know, what typically is believed, at least on paper, to be a stronger team in New York, you pulled out a win.
Yeah, I think we went back to the basics. You know, our defense has been playing kind of the same strategy all year. Against Philly, we had to make some adjustments because they were doing some certain things effective. Against New York, we kind of went back to what we've been taught all year, our normal defenses, our 2-3-2, and, you know, straight-up person defense. So
would you say the defense against Philadelphia was more experimental?
No, it wasn't so much experimental as much as adjustment-based, which, you know, I think we had to make the adjustments against Philly. They were beating us deep, probably. I think they had a couple five, six pass goals against us, so we needed something. I think we made the correct adjustments against Philly. Me personally, as a D-line leader, I just didn't execute them enough. A couple of my players on the D-line were playing incredible games, and I think we also had a chance to break late. And I think that was me again on another turn. So I think, looking back on it, I think it was just me that was kind of down against Philly. So, yeah, I'll take responsibility for Philly.
Yeah, I mean, you certainly threw a couple turns, but I mean, it's definitely a team sport. So don't burden. You know, I don't need to cheer you up. I'm sure you bounce back the next day. So let's talk about that. So this is a team in New York that you'd beaten five times consecutive previously, yeah. But they, with maybe save one, were nail biters. Particularly, walk me through the final 15 minutes of play when you've got a fourth quarter that's contentious, you've got a first overtime that has a 3-minute long point to start it off, and then a double OT.
Yeah.
What's your mentality look like going into another nail biter against New York?
The mentality is exactly what you just brought up. Oh, it's another New York game. Yeah, we've been there before.
That implies a certain host of things. You don't use the adjectives anymore. You just say New York game, and that's like, you know, when they say there's like a word in another language that means a thing. When you say it's a New York game to a Breeze player,
sure.
That implies the host of nerves. Like,
that's definitely an expression. But if you're not familiar with the Breeze in New York, I'll tell you how it works. New York kind of gives us the game for the first three quarters. Then we kind of give them the game for the fourth quarter. And then they find a way to give us the game back in either overtime or double overtime.
It's just a really polite giving gift.
It's a friendly game.
It's like Hanukkah, right? It's the 9 days of gift giving.
Yeah, and the reason I can kind of say it like that is because I have a tremendous amount of respect for New York. We're great friends. Sean, Chris.
Chris Kotcher, Sean Keegan.
And Jeff
both
Dad
former Breeze guys.
Kevin Norton. But yeah, so I know all the New York guys, and it's a friendly rivalry. And after the game, we were talking with some Empire players, and it's just like, you know, we tried to give the game away three times, but they tried to give the game away four times. So it was fun, exciting, ultimate. Great
for sure.
Crowd.
It was a huge crowd.
Amazing atmosphere for a Sunday night, too. I think the Breeze have done an excellent job creating these crowds. We've had awesome atmospheres each and every game.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have an account on the game yet from this past weekend against New York, but I often think a lot about the time slot. You know, it's ultimate players often overcommitted. There's so many playing opportunities for high-level players,
yeah.
A lot of which come out to the games in D.C., but maybe that Sunday night 5:30 slot, you know, drew some people at the end of a long weekend. They get to sit back and cheer for the home team.
Yeah, we're definitely looking at that time, like, are people coming out? But yeah, they showed up, and we're just so appreciative as players. Every single person that comes out, thank you, thank you, thank you. It just makes the atmosphere, the experience, and the game just a little bit more exciting.
So one of the guys you got to play with for the first time this weekend, or at least the first time in the Subtle Stars of the Breeze, is Joe Freund. Joe Freund. He made both games this weekend. He played a lot of D-line points with you.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about what you're seeing out of the young Joe Freund.
Joe Freund was great 2 years ago when I played with him on truck side.
And it's died off rapidly is where you're going with
and,
this?
Yeah, and he's got to hang him up. No. And he's a completely different player. He is so much more polished, great throws, so much more confident with the disc. I saw him a couple times throughout the last 2 years while he was playing for Virginia Tech. But he's stepped his game up, and he's going to be an incredibly important asset for the Breeze. He had a couple big blocks for us. He's a target I'm going to look for every time I have a disc. And yeah, he's all around good. I'm happy to have him on the D-line. I don't know where he'll end up. But
yeah, if you're talking about
blocks, I mean, we'll keep him there.
Sure, he's a big body, so
yes.
That's certainly one tick in the direction of D-line. But yeah, this new polish he's showing with the disc, or, you know, as a, I shouldn't maybe say new, but he's a young guy, so you just expect that to only go up and up. Maybe you'll lose some play time, he'll have to go over to the O-line a little bit. Although you've been playing O-line too. You've been crossing over yourself.
I'll race into the O-line.
Okay, good.
Run that race for 3 years.
Good. Well, so big bounce back victory, as we've talked about, against New York. Makes the Breeze 6-3 on the year. It's technically a half game behind Toronto for the lead of the AUDL East, although were it a tie score, you have 15 points on them in terms of point differential. Yeah. As luck would have it, this weekend you play against Toronto. Perfect timing. Thoughts going into the game?
Perfect timing. Great schedule. AUDL killing it. They just knew this was going
to
happen.
I'd like to send the schedule maker a gift basket if we could have his name and address.
Yeah, so it's... I would say we're playing for the division, but we definitely are aware there's other games we have to win down the line.
Sure.
So,
and as the game against Philly proves, you know, no team can be overlooked in the East.
Sure, exactly. So, that being said, it's still, you know, it's still a big game. It's Toronto coming to D.C.
Well, you can't bank on them losing another game if you don't go force their hand to lose it.
Yeah.
And now, to make that point differential matter, you got to win the game.
Sure. We gotta beat them. We both handled our business at home. We got them on opening day, and they beat us pretty handily when we came up to Toronto.
That's right.
So, you know, we're just going to hopefully use that home field, that home crowd to our advantage.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're just going to play as hard as we can.
So one of the reasons that I think the Toronto game, you know, of a myriad of reasons, but part of it was the Toronto traffic showing up with limited time to warm up in Toronto. Should we, you know, maybe close off a lane of New York Avenue, try to delay the Toronto bus a little bit so they have to work with the same odds?
Yeah, you know, why not? But
is that against the spirit of the game, maybe? I don't know. Maybe have I gone too far?
Spirit's dead. Spirit's dead. Nah, spirit's great. Spirit's alive. I hope they come fresh because I just want to be my opponent when they're at maximum speed, maximum strength. That's why we play sports. So, yeah, hope they're there.
Max Castle.
Time. Yeah, Maximum Castle. Yeah. I hope that they're on time, ready to go, and I hope it's a great game.
So we've talked a lot. We kicked it off a little bit, but now there's more context. We talked a little bit about the home-road split. Going, you know, you've got this home game against Toronto. The following weekend is a doubleheader away road trip to Canada. Talk to me about particularly the road elements of that. Does it mean anything particular that you're on the road for 2 days?
Yes, it absolutely does make a difference.
Yeah.
We saw Dallas drop two to Raleigh and Jacksonville.
First two in franchise history.
Correct. We dropped both of our Ottawa-Montreal games last year.
That's right.
These road trips are tough. I mean, you're just on a bus for so long. You get there and they're showing up, you know, 20-minute drive from home.
One question I've been asking everyone this year, what's your bus game like? Are you
quiet, front of the bus, trying to
front of the bus guy?
Yeah, I mean, front third. I mean, I'll go back and chill, but I'm getting better at sleeping on the bus.
Good life skill.
Yeah, starting to exploring the on the ground sleep, you know, in the middle aisle. But
that's a new strategy.
It's getting better. I play like 10% of the Mafia games.
Okay.
It just takes so long. Not a huge fan, but.
Got it. Okay. So the double header road trip. I think that's what I have to say about the upcoming Breeze stuff. Anything else you want to add there?
No, we're excited though. Road trips are awesome. They're super fun. And yeah, they might be challenging, but that's another great test for, you know, our mental toughness, our mental strength, and just winning on the road is a skill. And I hope that we can continue to improve that skill.
Yeah. And you're not going to win a championship without it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's get into some of my go-to reoccurring segments here on Hot Air. And the first one is called That's My Dad.
That's My Dad!
Sweet.
It's about heckle stories. And I've got, I think, the pieces of a heckle story that actually is about you, and then I'm going to throw it over to you and see if you've got a lot of experience working with kids through AUA, if you've got a good heckle story for me of something, you know, maybe positively spun. You talked a lot about the kids trying to read the disc. I think that's ripe for comedic harvesting.
Sure, yeah.
So the one I heard about you the other week is, I think it was in there's a round robin club amateur tournament that you and I both played in last weekend.
Correct.
And there was a throw that went up that I think you made a turnover, and the sideline shouted, "Should have been two hands," because you have been the chief advocate of two-handed throws, a lot of your segments on the internet, typically throws done with one hand, and in this case, they thought maybe your turnover wouldn't have happened if you would have secured it with that left hand of yours.
Yeah, well, first off, let's just...
set the record straight.
I apologize to my audience out there for attempting anything with one hand. We live in a two-handed world, two-handed push pass, two-handed flick, backhand.
That's why Frisbee's got two handles.
Yeah, it's. I apologize that I got caught, you know, playing with one hand. So I'm sorry. I don't want to. Let's move on from this one.
Okay. No. Do you have a heckle story that you've heard around the high schools and middle schools of the district?
I'm trying to think. You know, these at Benning Stoddard, the heckle stories. You know, they borderline. You know, slightly mean. So we're still trying to bring the ultimate spirit to a lot of these places. So maybe we can tone down the idea of the heckle at these at these areas we attend, because they're not quite there yet in terms of creativity.
The polish.
Polish, good word.
again.
So the heckle story.
If Joe Freund is polishing his throws, these middle schoolers are just polishing their heckle game.
Yeah, the heckle game turns into timeout corner. I threw a bad one against New York yesterday, and Sean Keegan from the sideline told me to stick to defense. That was pretty good. It was pretty good, but I don't know. I haven't heard any good talk since Nikki left.
Nikki was the heckle king?
Nikki's good. Nikki's got a good blend of, like, he'll get you, but it's out of, like, friendship and spirit.
His humor's always so dry, too. It takes you, like, an extra 2 seconds to register that it was, in fact, a heckle and not just, like, I don't know, a tangent.
Did he say it? No. He's good. Yeah.
All right. The other one I got for you is over under. This is a segment where I'm going to give you an ultimate-related thing, a real-world pop culture noun, and I want you to tell me whether you think it's under or overrated. But not just that, why?
Okay, this sounds fun. Let's do this.
So, one of your recent segments, Throwin' with Rowan, I'm naming it Throwin' with Rowan. I think you're not naming it that, but I think it's a huge missed opportunity. I'm a
too
rhyme
easy.
Guy.
Too easy. Me and Markham were joking that we're going to buy the domain throwinrowan.com.
Yeah, is it taken?
Since 2015. Like, this is a long time thing. Now everybody thinks I should just hop on throwinrowan.
Is there a throwinrowan.com that's open right now?
Unless Markham bought it, probably still open.
Markham's going to get it and sell it back to you in 30 years for twice the markup. Long con.
Hey, well played.
Okay. Here we go. One of your recent videos was about all the different varieties of the push pass. Push passes, under overrated.
One hand push pass overrated. Two hand push pass underrated.
What's the distinction? I mean, I've thrown a mean single handed push pass for a goal. It gets the job done.
It does. It gets the job done, but it looks so ugly.
Oh, so it's about aesthetics.
Visual aesthetics.
Aesthetics are what make the two
hand on that. Yes.
Okay.
0% functional.
Sushi.
Sushi is vastly underrated, healthy, and incredible. Way underrated. Overpriced. Overpriced, underrated.
I mean, you can always go to, like, Walgreens and get the cheap stuff. Is that even sushi?
Overpriced.
That's overpriced? $4 Walgreens sushi? All right. DC Athletics, Bryce Harper.
How's he doing this year? I think he had a bad year last year.
He's been busting out this year pretty hard.
I'd say properly rated.
There's no such thing. Maybe you can. So if you don't know his individual performance on the field, but he is a master, particularly with the bat. But maybe as a style icon, here's a guy that has dyed his hair silver for the antique look. Here's a guy that is flipping his helmet with the long mane behind him. Style icon.
Good hair.
Bryce Harper.
Underrated.
Underrated. Nerf guns.
Underrated. We had probably the game night at Evers, where our residence Evers house, had a big Nerf gun fight about a year and a half ago, and that was probably one of the funnest game nights of all time. And we haven't done it since, so I wonder why.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe you can never top that high.
There you go.
Who won?
I think there's a lot of different teams. The upstairs team won a lot, you know, that high ground.
The upstairs team.
And I can't remember. It's been
a year and a half.
It's been a year and a half.
Twitter.
Overrated. I'm an Instagram person.
You're an Insta. You're an Insta man.
Yeah, Rowan757. There we go.
There we go. Get it out.
Thank you.
Let's go with headbands. Sport of Ultimate, a lot of headwear, headbands.
If you look good with headbands, then a headband is
You're riding the middle pine.
You can't give headbands like its own thing. Like, you're going thin, you're going retro, you're going bandana. I mean
bandana's not a headband.
They're all headbands.
No. It's got to have some elastic in it to be a headband.
Okay.
You're just trying to muddy the water. Over, underrated? Tell me.
Overrated. Underrated. Overrated. You heard it here.
You're arguing with yourself now. All right, last one. Mouth guards. We're talking safety equipment, ultimate frisbee. Not a lot of players wear them, but I've seen it done.
Underrated. I think I've thought about it. Why not? It's supposed to be good if you hit the ground. It's supposed to help, like, concussion stuff.
Sure.
Helps tease stuff. I honestly think I'll be wearing one within the year. I think it's underrated. I don't know why.
There we go.
What's the problem?
That's the over-under segment. Survival of the fittest, Roe McDonald, you made it through. Congrats.
All right, I got one over-under for you.
You're going to turn the tables?
I do.
Should we do like a little, do we have to run around the table to do this? Is this around the world?
Okay. You ready for it?
I'm ready.
Okay, overrated, underrated, Cool Air.
Cool Air, the younger, hipper sibling of Hot Air. I'm going to say it's underrated right now. I think they could break out at any moment. I don't think they've fully reached their potential yet. And I think that within a couple episodes, we're going to be hearing Cool Air touted around the district. You're not going to be able to walk around the streets of D.C. without hearing a, yo, you hear the recent Cool Air? Like, these guys are going to blow up.
Yeah, they're incredibly witty. And, you know, they got me not doing anything. I think they got me on a cameo next time. But
really?
Yeah. All right, let me just give my plugs real quick. AmericanUltimateAcademy.com is where you can explore for our new drills. You can follow us on Twitter at @AUA_ultimate. Instagram is American Ultimate Academy, and as well Facebook. And if you want to check out some cool throws, follow me on Instagram at Rowan757.
AKA Throw with Rowan. I'm making it happen.
It's fun to say. It is fun to say.
Alright. Well, thanks everyone for tuning into Hot Air. Thanks, Rowan. Thanks to Nate Spate in the next room over. Hey Nate! Hey guys, thanks. Adios.
Thank you, Greg.